Hello, Apostolic Insiders. Welcome to the Staples household. It is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we have been hearing a lot about mercy in the last couple of weeks. Today, we will hear about mercy as well, but there is an overwhelmingly powerful message this week in the readings of judgment. There is a day of reckoning, my friends, but of course, it's always seasoned with mercy. Let's begin here. Our first point from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 23. We won't read all of it, but look at verse 14 and following. There is a day of reckoning for sin, my friends. In those days, all the princes of Judah, the priests, and the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple. Early and often did the Lord send his messengers to them, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets until the anger of the Lord was so inflamed that there was no remedy. Close quote. And as the reading continues, we see that God sent the Babylonians as his instruments of judgment, and judgment was wreaked upon Israel. We cannot even fathom, folks, the devastation that occurred, the burning of the temple, the melting down of much of the gold, and the stealing of the rest of it by these pagans. We cannot even imagine. Understand that to the Jews, the temple was the center of the universe for them. This was their reality. This is where God met man. This is where their sins were taken care of and so forth. And all of the sudden, it is obliterated in judgment for their sins. But of course, there, if you keep reading in 2 Chronicles 36, the inspired author says, our Lord through the prophets said, there will be 70 years. He says, those who are not slain, because remember, many of them were slain when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Many of the Jewish people were slaughtered. But the scripture says, those who were not killed were taken into slavery. And again, we cannot even imagine the level of devastation. But folks, this is a depiction of sin. This is what sin does. Sin destroys everything in its path. It brings death. It brings destruction. It brings isolation, loneliness, absolute misery. But the good news is, of course, at the end of chapter 36, we see that God speaks, and he speaks through a pagan king by the name of Cyrus. The Spirit of the Lord stirred up Cyrus the Persian when the Persians conquered the Babylonians to bring the people of God back to the Holy Land and rebuild the temple. So judgment is falling, but thanks be to God, there is redemption as well. And this leads us to our second point from Psalm 137. And remember, the psalm that we read this week is one of the later psalms. It's not a psalm of David. This is a psalm that was written hundreds of years later, in fact, after the Babylonian captivity, when the restoration had begun. Psalm 137 was written by an unknown author, but it says, by the streams of Babylon we sat and wept. It's a psalm that is looking back on the devastation that was caused by the sins of Israel when they were taken into slavery. By the streams of Babylon, we sat and wept. So it's a psalm that is lamenting the loss, the destruction that happened because of sin. But I find it fascinating here that in the midst of the chaos and the destruction, an odd message would come from the captors, from the despoilers, those who hated the Israelites. Listen to what they said. Our captors asked of us, sing for us the songs of Zion. Sing songs of joy. And the people of God there said, how can we sing in a foreign land, right? We're devastated by the loss of our temple. It's a fascinating just couple of verses there in Psalm 137, where even in the midst of the degradation, the darkness caused by sin, we see those who are lost in its destruction are calling out to the Israelites, hey, can you guys sing us some of those songs of Zion? Sing some of those songs of joy. And the reason for this is, even though those who hate God and are living in sin and you know, on the surface don't want anything to do with God, that's real. And we see that in our culture today. There's something deep down inside that longs for the joy that can only come from the Lord. And that leads us to our third and final point. And we've been reading from Jesus' message to Nicodemus here. And this week it's John 3:14-21. Can't read it all, but let me just start at verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And this leads into, of course, the famous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved. And all those who believe in the name of the Son of God shall be saved, and those who do not believe are condemned already, says Jesus. Why? Because the world, and we have to understand what's being described in 2 Chronicles 36 of the degradation and the devastation caused by sin, is already here, Jesus said. So those who do not believe in the Son of God are condemned already. They are already living in that condemnation. And this is the verdict, we read, that the light came into the world, but people preferred the darkness to light. Doesn't that kind of harken back to 2 Chronicles 36? God sent prophets early and often, and they rejected the message of the prophet. Why? Because they loved darkness rather than light, right? The people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. This is the battle that we find raging all around us between light and darkness. Jesus is the ultimate example. Yes, God sent prophet after prophet in the Old Testament who were speaking words of light and life, and the people of God rejected them again and again until that day of reckoning. Well, guess what? God has continued to send prophet after prophet until finally he sends Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. He is the light of the world. As he says in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he calls us to enter into that light, and St. Paul will say it in Ephesians chapter 2, we become light because we are in Jesus Christ. And we then are called to continue not just the message, but to continue being the light that in the midst of this culture of ours, and I don't know about you guys, but I just see in our culture today, we have a manifestation of such darkness we've never seen before in our culture. The level of degradation that we are experiencing right now, I mean, to the point of not just abortion, my gosh, 62 plus million aborted babies. Now, transgenderism. We're so arrogant as to think male and female, he created them, doesn't apply any longer. We're going to decide what gender we are, and create new ones. This is the epitome of darkness. Everywhere we look, homosexual marriage, every kind of immorality being touted as the norm. But guess what? In the midst of all of this degradation, and we see people rejecting the light because they prefer this darkness, you know what? Still, deep down in each and every one of our hearts, just like those Babylonian captors who certainly loved, look, they pillaged the temple, they killed, they slaughtered, they enslaved. And yet deep down inside they say, hey, can you guys sing us some songs of those joyful songs of Zion? Deep down inside, You know, in those places you don't talk about at parties, every person here longs for the light that can only come from God, that will dispel the darkness. The truth of the matter is, we are called to be that light. As St. Paul says, we become light, he says in Ephesians chapter 2, by our entrance into Jesus Christ, and we become that light. I believe we, if we will allow Jesus to permeate our lives, to permeate our being, we will have people in this time of absolute darkness and degradation say to us, hey, can you sing some of those songs you guys sing at Mass? They will reach out to us. You ever notice how the world that hates us, remember this, Catherine, the world hates the church. The world hates the Pope. The world hates us. And yet, whenever the Pope leaves the Vatican, you got newspapers everywhere, reporters. All he has to do is, you don't see the Patriarch of Constantinople getting that kind of airtime. But the Pope you do, because even though the world hates us, the world is also intrigued by us, and they want ultimately to hear the message that we alone have. The question for us is, are we living in the light? Are we in that place to where we want our deeds to be exposed because we know we're doing them in God? Or are we living like the world and hiding because we don't want our deeds to be exposed? If that's the way we're living, we need to go to confession and get right with God and become the light of the world, because this world is in desperate need of the light that comes from Jesus Christ. God bless you.